traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Irad Ortiz Jr. has dominated top-tier events like the Breeders' Cup, securing multiple victories across different categories. His wins in races like the Travers Stakes and Belmont Stakes highlight his skill and adaptability, earning him a place as one of the most sought-after jockeys in high-stakes competitions. Known for his tactical approach, Ortiz excels at reading the flow of a race and adapting his strategy on the fly. His finishing strength, especially in the last stretch, makes him a fierce competitor, capable of securing victories even in tight finishes. Ortiz is a multi-time recipient of the Eclipse Award for Outstanding Jockey, a testament to his consistency and excellence. This prestigious award underscores his skill, work ethic, and respect within the industry.
And they're off in the Pegasus World Cup. Life is Good came away very quick, and he's reaching out for the early lead. Joel Rosario has to move on Life is Go as he's going to lose his spot. Nick's Go had to shuffle back there. He angles for Racing Room. He's third behind the superior speed of Life is Good. Life is Good settles into a rhythm up top. He leads by two over Stiletto Boy in second. Nick's Go is going to have to do it from off the speed today. He's racing in third with Empty Tomb at the rail in fourth. Followed fifth and wide on the course by Endorsed. It's a gap of two to Chess Chief. He's racing together with Commandeer. Sir Winston is second last and the trailer is title ready. And the leader is Life is Good. Life is Good. And Irad Ortiz Jr. rolling early through a 23-second opening quarter. He has five lengths on his chief rival, Nick's Go, who's racing in second. Endorsed on the outside, wide on the course, while third. Empty Tomb and Stiletto Boy travel as a team about 8 lengths off this loose leader. Three better than Commandeer. Then Chess Chief and Sir Winston. Title ready is last of all, half a mile from home. Life is Good is still well clear. He went the opening half mile in 46-1. Life is Good to the far turn by many. Call it five. Nick's Go will have to go from there. He's now second. Endorsed on the outside, third. Stiletto Boy has dropped better than 10 lengths off the lead while racing fourth. Up to the outside, Sir Winston is underway, but he's a long way behind as Life is Good is still well clear. Life is Good hasn't seen a rival. He's at the corner pole and he's in front by many. Nick's Go just has too much to do at this point as they sprint for the drive. 3/16 to go. Life is Good is still well clear. Second is Nick's Go toward the inside. Stiletto Boy back to fourth and Endorsed. Less than an eighth of a mile from home. Life is Good. Life is Good and Irad Ortiz Jr. They ran him off their feet in the Pegasus. Life is Good on cloud nine. It won by three over Nick's Go in second. Third was Stiletto.
And they're off. Oh, it was a stumbling beginning there for Butterbean, and Society was off slow. Society is now moving up, but it is Nest who has the early lead going into the clubhouse turn. And then it is Nostalgic and Secret Oath on the outside. In tight there is Society, and it's a big break back to Butterbean. Society wants to go on with it and wants to go up to challenge Nest for the lead. And Society now has the lead with Nest a close-up second. And then Nostalgic and Secret Oath on the outside. The opening quarter went in 24 seconds. It is Society who leads here by a half length. Nest is in between horses. Nostalgic is three wide. Secret Oath is four wide. These three-year-old fillies are stacked across the track. It is Nest who now puts a head in front. Society is down at the rail. Then it's Nostalgic and Secret Oath racing right together. And it's a big break. Back to Butterbean in fifth. Opening half mile in 47 and 2/5 seconds. Nest is the leader as they head for the far turn. Secret Oath now makes her move on the outside. And the two of them hook up here. It is Secret Oath on the outside and Nest on the inside. Midway around the far turn. It is Nest on the inside with a head in front of Secret Oath. The front two have opened up a half dozen lengths on Society and Nostalgic. And Nest is getting clear from Secret Oath, who's being asked for more. Nest is in front, three quarters in 1:11. And they head for home here at Saratoga with Nest the leader. Nest in front with an eighth of a mile to the finish. Secret Oath could not keep up with Nest today. It is Nest who is opening up on the field. Nest putting in a grade one performance today. Nest, much the best in this coaching club, American Oaks. She won by better than 10 lengths. Secret Oath was second. Nostalgic finished third. Then Society. And further back.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes. And the filly Nest stumbles coming out of the gate. And We the People goes out to the early lead. Skippy Longstocking is away running in second. Golden Glider came on third. Barber Road much closer to the pace today. And Nest is being sent to an opening on the inside after that early stumble. Then Creative Minister, the Kentucky Derby winners near the back of the pack early. Rick Strike is last now. And Bo Donegal is gone by him. So it's We the People leading the way to a 23.99 opening quarter mile. It's a decent pace. It's on top by a length and a half. Skippy Longstocking on the outside second. Nest has made her way up into third as they make their way to the back stretch here. And then it's a three-wide run for Golden Glider. Mo Donegal between horses. Creative Minister down on the inside. Barber Road, who was closer, has been taken back to second last. And Sonny Leone and Rick Strike are going to have to come from dead last here. They're trailing the field after a 48.49 half mile. Up the back stretch of the Belmont. We the People and Fabian Pratt. Three quarters of a length ahead of Skippy Longstocking, who continues to stick with his front runner up the back stretch. Then Golden Glider, Nest, O'Donnell to the outside. Creative Minister is next. Then Barber Road. He's got five and a half to make up. Ridge Strike continues to race at the back of the pack. The Kentucky Derby winner is last up the back stretch. Three quarters up in 113.23 seconds. They race for the far turn. We the People has been in front all the way so far. The lead is three quarters of a length over Skippy Longstocking. And then it's Nest on the inside and third. She's just behind the leader. O'Donegal is fourth on the outside. Meanwhile, Rich Strike is still last, and he's being ridden to go now by Sonny Leone at the back of the pack. Around the far turn, We the People try to take him every step of the way. Skippy Longstocking has been second throughout. Nest is third, just in behind them. The filly is just in behind the front-running pair. And Mo Donegal is moving on the outside. Rick Strike is out of last, but he's got a lot of work to do. Skippy Longstocking has come up to the next. The We the People of Mo Donegal comes charging up on the outside. And they're into the stretch. And Mo Donegal has taken the lead as they arrive at the final furlong. Nest has moved up in a second. Then We the People and Skippy Longstocking. It is going to be Mike Rapoli on two.
They're off. It was an awkward start for Cody's Wish, who is last. Giant Game and White Abario going out to vie for the early lead. And Zandon came away smoothly from the inside. Charge It in between horses. Last Samurai three lengths off the lead. And Cody's Wish will be at the back of the field, five lengths off the front running Giant Game. And so Giant Game takes them through the first quarter of a mile in front by a half length. They went 24 and two-fifths seconds. White Abario is in second. And Last Samurai inches up three wide in third. Zandon is close up with just two and a half lengths to make up. And Charge It racing in between horses. Cody's Wish is at the back. So Cody's Wish is more than four lengths off the lead, held by Giant Game. They went the half in 48 and one-fifth seconds. And it's Giant Game and Luis Saez in front, pressed by White Abario just a head away in second. Last Samurai, Zandon, Cody's Wish making an early move. There he goes. Cody's Wish goes by Charge It, who now trails as they move around the far turn. It's still Giant Game and White Abario. White Abario puts his gray head in front, coming to the quarter pole. Zandon's had a beautiful trip, angling out. Cody's Wish has a lot of work to do from there. And Charge It is trying to rally there at the top of the stretch in the Whitney. And White Abario is the leader narrowly over Giant Game. Zandon, Cody's Wish on the outside, still four lengths behind White Abario, who's running the race of his life. Look at White Abario in a red Ortiz Jr. in a runaway. White Abario wins by almost six lengths. Zandon second.
Ready for the start. They're off in the 40th Breeders' Cup Classic. And a Arabian Nights storms out of the gate. Saudi crowd couldn't get to the front as Arabian Night immediately comes to the inside and will grab the front end as they race by us for the first time. Saudi crowd is forced to go to the outside. Dermis Otagake is next. White Amario is fourth. Evident Sandin alongside of Proxy, 5 lengths off the lead. Visnakot is next. After that comes on the outside Bright Future. It's EY Dreamlight, Clapton along the rail. The trailers are Senior Buscador and a ground saving Ushpa Tesoro. Around the first turn they go. And Arabian Night is the leader through a 22.46 opening quarter mile. He was rushed to the front end here, and the pace is hot. Saudi Crown a length and a half behind. White Amario stops in third. Dermis Otagake is fourth. He's 3.5 lengths off the lead. Then Sandin, 3 back to Proxy alongside of Miss the Cut. Ushpa Tesoro has moved out of the back of the pack now. He's 9 lengths behind up the back stretch. And then it's Dreamlight, Clapton, and Senior Buscador. Bright Future trails 45.73 was the half mile for Arabian Night, who leads it by 3/4 of a length. Saudi Crown on the outside second. White Amario continues to stalk the top two as they race for the far turn. Dermis Otagake has come under pressure. So too Sandin. They're both being asked to run, as is Ushpa Tesoro, and he's 9 lengths off the lead around the far turn. Arabian Night. White Amario circles up on the outside. Saudi Crown all out between those two. Then it's Dermis Otagake. Ushpa Tesoro is beginning to move on the outside, but work to do as White Amario and Arabian Night turn for home together in the Breeders' Cup Classic. White Amario has taken the lead. Arabian Night gives way to Dermis Otagake, and Ushpa Tesoro are trying to close the gap, but it is White Amario and Hernan Ortiz, and they have won the Breeders' Cup Classic over Dermis Otagake. Roxy Daylight was
the voice of the Breeders' Cup. We send it back up once again to Larry Comas.
They're all in line. We're ready for the start. They're off in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and East Avenue is last early on. It is Citizen Bull that goes out to the early lead. Getaway Car and Gaming are right there, too. So the Bob Baffert horses, 1, 2, 3 into the turn. Jonathan's Way and Ferocious are next. Then a Cora Wazelle. Break of another 2.5 lengths more to Chancellor McPatrick, who's ahead of East Avenue early on. East Avenue looks a little uncomfortable in the early stages here, now being passed by Shin Believe, and Hill Road is the trailer. So on to the backstretch, Citizen Bull makes the pace, Gaming 3/4 of a length behind. Then to the outside, it is a Corozel in third. First quarter mile, 23.44. It was realistic. They're not rolling right along up front. Getaway Car is fourth and down on the inside. Jonathan's Way, fifth in between horses, with 4 lengths to make up at this stage. Then Shin Believe and Ferocious. East Avenue and Chancellor McPatrick are side by side, and they're 7 lengths behind Citizen Bull. Hill Road is the trailer. 47.89 was an easy half mile. And now the field races for the far turn, where it is still Citizen Bull and Gaming. The Bob Baffert horses, 1-2. Akora Wazelle, Shin Believe has moved up on the outside. Getaway Car is at the rail, and the others have plenty of work to do as they come toward the top of the stretch. Citizen Bull and Gaming, and they turn for home together. The stablemates, 1-2, they're into the stretch. Citizen Bull in front, trying to take them all the way, and he kicks away. Citizen Bull by 2. Gaming is all out second. Getaway Car third. Baffert 1-2-3 as they come to the finish. It is going to be Citizen Bull and Martin Garcia to win. Gaming was second. Hill Road came late. Grabbed third from Getaway Car in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Martin Garcia, the jockey, showed up around Bob Baffert. He reached out to Bob Baffert. He got to ride Citizen Bull, and now he got to notch another Breeders' Cup win.
Bob Baffert gets his 6th and record juvenile Breeders' Cup juvenile win. Yeah, I mean, look, at the whole complexion of the race changed when East Avenue stumbled badly out of the gate. It left Citizen Bull on the lead alone. He figured to be close anyway, but with no pressure, a pretty moderate pace for Breeders' Cup standards, and he just got to walk the dog up front.
Yeah, we don't know what would have happened if East Avenue had gotten away to a quick start, but it completely turned this race upside down when he stumbled as badly as he did, and we'll get a look at that and what happened to East Avenue at the start afterward. But for Del Mar, for any Southern California racetrack, a half in 47.89, 6 furlongs, 112.21, that's pretty much crawling on the front end, and that's why the Baffert horses were able to run 1-2 all the way around the track.
Jonathan's Way really had a pretty good spot. He was about fifth, no more than five lengths off the lead down the backside. Chancellor McPatrick was back early. He never really made a run. But you just got to tip your hat to Baffert and his trio.
Yeah, very disappointing for Chancellor McPatrick. The slow pace didn't help his, you know, help his chances any, but he should have made more of a run than he did. He made no run at all.
Four starts, now three wins, including a Breeders' Cup championship for Citizen Bull.
Hello and thanks for tuning in to the Irish Racing YouTube channel, back with another episode of Emma's Eye Catchers in association with Tony Bett. And this week's episode, I'm going to be doing a runner-by-runner guide to all of the Irish contenders at this week's Breeders' Cup in Delmar. So the first race over the weekend with Irish representation, 9:45 Friday evening, to kick us off in the Breeders' Cup. It'll be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint over the 5 furlongs. Four Irish runners in here from three different yards. First one to talk about, Magnum Force for Ger Lyons and Colin Keane. He won his maiden in Cork back in August, went over to the UK then the last twice. He placed and listed and Group 2 company. Probably have to improve in all known form, but it's very interesting that Ger travels from over here. He's lightly raced and he definitely could improve. Next in then, Arizona Blaze for Adrian Murray and Ammo Racing. Definitely one who showed a real promise, had good quality form early on in his two-year-old campaign, but has been a bit disappointing the last twice especially. It's going to be his ninth start of the campaign. He's had a long, tough year. Could be hard enough for him to bounce back here. Next in then, Whistle Jacket, the first of the Aidan O'Brien pair. This will be the shortest of the Irish runners under Ryan Moore. Already a Group 1 winner as a two-year-old, but was a bit disappointing last time. His form can come in and out a little bit. He's had a long, tough year. A couple of questions to answer here now, but Ryan Moore stays loyal to him, which will be a plus for Whistle Jacket. Last in then of the Irish runners, the second Aidan O'Brien runner, Ides of March, who I think is a really interesting second string under Wayne Lorden. He's stepping into Group 1 company for the first time here, but he looks really, really quick over these sprint trips. He's got a bit to find on ratings with his stablemate Whistle Jacket, but he looks a really progressive type and could be one who could cause an upset under Wayne Lorden. On to 11:05 then on Friday evening, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf over the mile, and again a really strong Irish representation in here, spearheaded by Lake Victoria from Ballydoyle as well. She's the stable first string, the choice of Ryan Moore, and she's already favoured for next year's 1,000 guineas. She was a Group 1 winner last twice over 6 and 7 furlongs. She is stepping up to the mile for the first time here, but still likely to go off a really short price favourite under Ryan Moore. Next in then, a pair of fillies who know each other really well, Heaven's Gate and Fiery Lucy for Aidan O'Brien and Gavin Cromwell. First up, Heaven's Gate. She's the Ballydoyle second string, but still a live chance under Wayne Lorden. She was a Group 3 winner last time at the Curragh over 7 furlongs, but probably likely to be held by stablemate Lake Victoria still. Then Fiery Lucy is a really, really tough, versatile filly for Gavin Cromwell. She'll be ridden by Gary Carroll. She's a good sprinter, but still seemed to stay the mile well at the Curragh earlier on this year. Has definitely got a bit to find with the likes of a Lake Victoria, but could be a good each-way shout at a big price. Moving on then, two more Irish juveniles represented on Friday evening at 11:45 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile over the mile on the dirt. Hill Road is a really interesting runner for Adrian Murray. First time on the dirt. He's likely to be a big outsider. He's a dual winner already though. He's by Quality Road, who sired the 2021 winner of this race, Corniche. He is bred to handle the dirt, but it probably looks a big enough ask after a disappointing run in the National Stakes and Irish Champions weekend, but one to keep an eye on. At 12:25 on Friday evening, the last Irish runner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, Henry Matiste, is the only representative from Ballydoyle, and Ryan Moore takes the ride. He has been a little bit disappointing the last twice, but the form of his futurity win at the Curragh back in August looks really, really strong now. Second that day, hot as hell, came out and won a Group 1 for Jessica Harrington last weekend. He has a couple of questions to answer, but could be a dangerous one to underestimate at each way prices. On to Saturday's racing, then it's where it really gets interesting for the Irish contenders when the older horses come out. And the first ones we'll see will be at 9:01 on Saturday evening in the Breeders' Cup Turf over the mile and a half. Two Ballydoyle winners in here, Luxembourg and Wingspan. Luxembourg is first choice under Ryan Moore. Probably sacrificed himself a little bit as a pacemaker in the Irish Champions Stakes last time. Can be a bit hit and miss, but if he's on a going day, he's as good as anything else in here. Next in then, Wingspan, second string under Wayne Lorden. Interesting decision to take on the boys here. She looked to improve massively when stepping up to the mile and a half last time in British Champions Day. She gets a weight all around and could be an interesting one at each way prices. Won't have too much time to sit around and reflect after that one. Just 40 minutes later at 9:41 Saturday evening, the Breeders' Cup Classic over the 10 furlongs. City of Troy's Day with Destiny, champion three-year-old elect. Aidan O'Brien says he's the best he's ever trained. He's coming into this on the back of a dazzling performance in the Judmont International at York. Will he handle the dirt is the big question everyone wants to know. If he does, he'll go down in the history book and it'll be a race for the ages for sure. The action for the Irish isn't going to end there though. Not long after 10:25, we've got the Breeders' Cup Fillies and Mares Turf over the mile and three. Unfortunately, Ylang Ylang has been scratched from this one, so that leaves Content as the only Ballydoyle representative in here. Frankie Dettori was originally down to ride her, but you'd imagine Ryan Moore might make the switch aboard now. She's definitely failed to fire since she won the Yorkshire Oaks a few starts back. The question mark here might be, will the better ground bring her back to that level of form again? She hasn't seen good to firm since she won in New York that day, so they're probably hoping that the nicer ground here in America might suit her. She does pull very, very hard though, so it'll be interesting to see how she copes with the occasion around the Breeders' Cup. And so the last pair of runners on Breeders' Cup weekend for the Irish will be at 11:45 on Saturday evening in the Breeders' Cup Mile. First in there, we've got Diego Velasquez for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. I suppose initially he started off his campaign quite well. He was not beaten too far in the French Guineas, but things kind of went a bit wrong for him there. Has got his season back on track these last two runs, but this will be a lot, lot tougher for Diego Velasquez. And last but not least, definitely not least, Porter Fortuna shows up as well in the Breeders' Cup Mile for Donica O'Brien under Tom Marquand. She was a really good second in Santa Anita last year, and since then I suppose she's gone on to kind of prove herself as the top three-year-old filly in Europe this year. She's been brilliant from start to start. She seemed to improve. Interesting that they've made the decision to take on the boy. She's very, very good over a mile. It'll be probably her toughest ask to date, but she's a filly in the form of her life and will put up a bold show for Donica O'Brien, no doubt. So that's the Irish team for Breeders' Cup weekend. Plenty of exciting ones to look forward to. Let me know in the comments who you're most looking forward to seeing. And thanks again for tuning in. Make sure and like and subscribe if you enjoy the content.
Bowie's an amazing stallion. He has so many attributes. His great attributes include the fact that he can get high-class horses over all distances. He has Group 1 winners at 6 furlongs, at 14 furlongs, and everything in between at the highest level. I mean, these include like sprinters such as our own Naval Crown, Space Blues, Lucky 9 in Hong Kong, and then Gayeth over 10 furlongs, you know, the winner of the Judmont International and Coronation Cup. He also is very capable of getting a top-class two-year-old. He's had champion two-year-olds, such as Tudon Hart, our own Tudon Hart, Quarto. There's a very exciting young horse in Ireland, Henry Longfellow. Looks like he's going to follow the same path as many of the other Dubawis. Another thing that adds to his success is the fact he gets Group 1 winning colts and fillies. There's plenty of Group 1 winning fillies around the world. Horses like Rebel's Romance, they're winners on the dirt as well as turf. Another great attribute of the Dubawi progeny is the fact that they're very tough. They tend to train on, so you get a lot of older horses that keep on improving and winning at the highest level. Dubawi now is starting to leave a legacy as a sire of sires. We're very lucky we have two of his best young sons. Tudon Hart, in his first season as a stallion, has produced a Group 1 winner. So nowadays you're starting to see his broodmares coming through, and he seems to be nicking particularly well with Frankel on that cross. Two of them are classic winners, Adiar and Homeless Songs, and there's Mustadaf. And I think that's the spear where the influence of Dubawi is going to continue to grow and grow for many years to come.
I think Tudon Hart, what is clear is that there is true class in there. The trainers clearly believe there is talent. I know we've got talent in our own yards by Tudon Hart. Ever since he arrived here, he has been he's been sort of destined to success. We've rarely had a horse who has been given so many high quality mares in his first couple of years. We've rarely had a horse with such strong books in years two and three. And his yearling sales were excellent. So for that to be vindicated now where it matters on the race course is really exciting for all of us. I think when Dali Stallions set out, you know, with Dubawi's own father, Dubai Millennium, to see the dynasty that's now developing below that stallion line is the ultimate in what we do on the breeding side of it. So, of course, it is thrilling. The Dubawi line is such a great outcross for so many mares in Europe and further afield.
Harry Angel's been fantastic since he's been here. He had a great start with his first two-year-olds. Horses like Marshman, Aldassim, Iconic Moment, really carried the flag for him. He was a generational sprinter. He was running in a generation of sprinters that included the likes of Blue Point, who is at the moment taking all before him. His first season sire, he was competing with Caravaggio, who was a top-class sprinter, and hardened sprinters like Lamato and the Tin Man. So it was a real golden generation for that type of horse, and he was the best of them, effectively. His performance in the Haydock Sprint Cup was the best they've seen for, I think they called it, the last 25, 50 years or something at the time. So just a world-class racehorse. He appeals to the market. He's a speed stallion. He's exactly what we needed at the time, and he's doing the goods. I think the biggest thing with the Harry Angels are their toughness and that they're genuine horses. They try hard. They improve with racing. You speak to any trainer who has one in their yard, they'll all say that the more work you give them, the better they get. Very, very genuine temperaments, you know, easy horses to deal with, and they have a bit of class, a bit of speed. So he's had a fantastic start globally. They look like race horses that will be able to compete all around the world from sort of 6 furlongs up to a mile. So he's a really exciting international prospect for sure.
We're very excited to stand Modern Games for the 2024 season. He was an amazing racehorse on the track, 5-time Group 1 winner, won in 4 different countries. Group 1s in France, French Classic, the Lock Engine England, and 2 Breeders' Cups as well, Breeders' Cup Juvenalta and the Breeders' Cup Mile. So a phenomenal racehorse. I think his last 11 races were in Group 1 company, incredibly tough. So very excited to stand another son of Dubawi here after Tudon Hot's recent success. Modern Games himself is out of a new approach mare called Modern Ideals, which makes him a brother to Morge. So it's a very current family with lots going on and real good family as well. And we're really excited to see him stand here in 2024.
Willie, Gallop de Champs, the Jewel Gold Cup winner. How has he been?
He's very good, very happy with him. He's very laid back, as you can see. We'll probably do more or less what we did last year, although looking through his record, he got beaten twice last year in Punchestown at the start of the season, at the end of the season, and his previous run to that, he was beaten in Punchestown as well. So maybe he doesn't like the place, but I think probably just the 2.5 miles beat him last year. Fast or slow, he's a good horse anyhow. Mm. And he was going well in the Gold Cup when he fell. I imagine we'll do the same thing, go to Christmas, then back to the Irish Gold Cup and on to Cheltenham. You know, he's a year older now. I think he's still in good order. Whether we give him one race less, I don't know. But I'd like to have him good and fit going to Cheltenham anyhow. So, you know, whether we take one of those spring races out. And it's hard to know. I think the way we've campaigned him for the last 2 years has worked. And I hate changing things. So I'd say we'll probably stick to our plan.
Bit of a 360 last year, tactics-wise, of course. The previous year, it was all about trying to get him settled after he got beaten to John Durkin. You'd switch him on.
We did. He just didn't jump well being held up, and Paul was keen enough to... I wanted to see him going down and attacking the first 2 or 3 fences and get into his rhythm quicker. And I think just letting him roll along from the beginning helped that and made a big difference to him.
You mentioned winning two Gold Cups, being a year older. He's going there as the defending champion, bidding for three. Long way to go to next March, of course, but how hard is it to do that?
Very hard. I mean, best mate, probably the last one, and he did very little racing throughout his seasons. Obviously, that was, you know, the way to train him. This fella just different, I think. But you never know what the season throws up as well, you know, if they get a little knock. He missed a couple of weeks there last month. He had small little issue, but resolved now. You know, so we'll see, is he ready enough for the John Durkin? And maybe we'll just wait till Christmas. And you know, he's back in good order now. So when I go to gallop him, I'll see how he is. And I get a lot of feedback from Paul as well. He knows him inside out, so he'll be a great help deciding where we go first time.
That success in the Gold Cup last March, of course, the enjoyment people get out looking at this horse run, and in particular his owners, the Turley family, they really appreciate what they have.
I think so. You know, they know they've been lucky to get a horse like him. He's a horse in a lifetime for any owner, any trainer. And he's such a pet as well. I think, you know, himself and Audrey get on very well. So hopefully he'll be posing for more pictures with her.
Not a bad collection of horses in this paddock, will he?
No, Stateman, Gaelic Warrior, two fine horses to go to war with. They enjoy being out in the paddock during the day on a day like this. They're good mates as well, so they don't knock the stuffing out of one another. And it's good for them to relax. Stateman, I imagine, will probably go for the Morgiana and then go the usual route. Leopardstown Christmas, then Leopardstown for the Irish Champion Hurdle and back to Cheltenham for the Champion Hurdle. It's worked every year. He's a good, solid, straightforward horse. Doesn't do anything flashy, but gets the job done. So, you know, he is a Champion Hurdle winner, an Irish Champion Hurdle winner. I mean, his record last year was fantastic. If he could do anything like that again this year, that'd be great for Mari and Joe Donnelly.
Potential match coming up with Constitution Hill again, maybe.
Yeah, we'll, you know, looking forward to that. I think, you know, he has a Champion Hurdle in the bag, so we might have to. we might, you know, it'd be good to put the two of them together, anyway.
He's so economical in everything he does. He relaxes. He just does what he has to do to win in any occasion, really, no matter what the opposition is.
That's it. You know, he's just a racehorse. He gets out and races whatever he's against. But he just doesn't show off when he's doing it. You know, he just does what he has to do. And hopefully he can do that against Constitution Hill.
Gaelic Warrior, you decided to go chasing last year. It all came good in the end with that win, the Arkle chase at Cheltenham. Not so good before that at the Dublin Racing Festival.
Yeah, I mean, Gaelic Warrior, we started off, I think the Brown Advisory was the race we had over 3 miles. And then he fluffed his lines in Dublin Racing Festival with Factor File. And, you know, we just said we'd change tactics altogether. Then we'd go back to 2 miles, and he came good in Cheltenham. And coming out of Cheltenham, we're thinking, you know, have we a champion chaser instead of a Gold Cup horse? It's a nice problem to have, but, you know, and then he just disappointed me a little in Punchestown, but that was at the end of a season, and he got a bump along the way. I imagine we'll probably start off thinking that he's a champion chase horse, and if he has to go up and trip, that'd be fine. You know, the Ryanair's there, the Gold Cup is there, but he's able to win around Cheltenham. He jumps a little bit to his right, but you know, he has an engine, so sometimes you just have to put up with those little quirks that they have, and he's good enough to be in Cheltenham anyway. Just you better keep an eye out.
They're both in good terms with themselves anyway, and how have they been after summer breaks?
They've been fine. Just I've been very happy with both of them. So I'm not sure where Gaelic Warrior will start off. You know, it'd probably be John Durkin once again, you know. If there's an alternative race somewhere in England, maybe we might do that as well. But at this point in time, I imagine the starting point would be Punchestown.
Theoretically, the King George Pass, would that be an option going right-handed 3 miles flat track?
That is, yeah. That's something that will come into play, I'd say, this year. He'd, you know, we know he stays. We're not too worried about that. But, you know, whether we go for the Grade 1, 2 miles at Christmas. But he is a horse that you could go from one trip to another. It wouldn't really worry me. It wouldn't worry him, I think. Ballyburn, he'd come back in good shape, good and strong. 4 from 5 last year.
How did you get him beating him in, Harlan?
That was my fault. Paul wanted to go on and make the running, but I just felt the horse first time out, he was very keen, these bumpers, and I didn't want him jumping out the first run, and he wasn't, probably hadn't him as ready as, you know, you'd wanted him. So I asked Paul to settle him in, and he got beaten, but he was beaten by a Grade 1 horse, Firefox, after, so no shame in that. Learned a lot that day. Probably learned how to settle a little bit too, which was better for him later on in the season.
You made a decision after winning the Dumb Racing Festival, of course, beat Slade Steel on that occasion to go up and trip at Cheltenham.
Yeah, I thought he'd handle the trip no problem, and you know, we put Mythical Power in the Supreme Novice and he got beaten, but there you are. I was trying to keep them apart. So to get a winner out of it is good, rather than two of them get beat.
How has he been since he came back after a summer break?
He's been very good, very happy with him. I haven't had a chance to chat to Ronnie Bartlett or Dave Manassa about his direction this year. He can go both directions. He probably has to find a good half stone or more to be champion hurdle class. You know, he can go down the novice chase route either. So haven't had a chance to meet Ronnie. I was supposed to meet him this week, but we didn't get around to doing that. So we'll have to have that conversation in the next short while, I think.
Very impressive in his point-to-point win.
He was. He jumps well. I mean, he looks a chaser, but he's obviously very sharp as well over hurdles, you know. But anyhow, we'll have to leave that one for the next few weeks, I think. But hopefully I'll let Sporting Life readers know first. We'll see.
Willie, fact of file, this time last year you revealed to us that you were going to skip going novice hurdling with him. You went straight chasing, and it's a move that worked out very well.
Yeah, it did. As you can see, he's one of the friendliest horses, I think, in the place. He's so inquisitive, always out over the door looking at what's going on. But he won 3 out of 4 last year. His last two were Grade 1s. He just took to it naturally, I think, to jumping. But he looks that type of a horse when you see him out. Usually a horse like this, aiming for the Gold Cup, we'd start off with John Durkin and then aim for Christmas.
Christmas being?
Well, there's the King George there. You know, there's other races there. So we'll have a look. We'll have a chat. We'll see how he gets on with his first race first. And we'll take it from there. But usually, if we have a Gold Cup horse, we have a fairly predictable route there. Either could be Tremor. You never know. We'll see what happens. I have a word with JP and Frank and Mark, of course. We'll see how the horse takes his first run. And you know, I'm not expecting anything untoward. He's fairly straightforward horse, I think.
Physically, how has he done? He's always been a big, imposing unit, and he's 7-year-olds now.
Yeah, I think he couldn't be much better than he was last year, you know, physically. So he's developed quite early, so he did. So, you know, if he can hold the same type of muscle that he had last year, I'd be very happy.
He showed at the Dublin Racing Festival that he's got a big engine to maintain a good tempo. But in Cheltenham, it was a rough race for him. It all didn't go to plan. But again, the last 3 furlongs, he was very strong on that occasion.
He was. He is. I think he's just so much ability. It'll come out again, I think, this next year. It's always a hard year transitioning from novice into open company. But I think this one has all the attributes that you'd need to be an open horse, you know.
Willie, lost him out, brilliant winner at Triumph Hurl, and again winning at Cheltenham last year in the Mayor's Hurl.
Yeah, we took her easy with her last year, just 3 runs. She was good in all of them. She'll have a busier year this year, I think, aiming for the champion hurdle. The way she jumped around Cheltenham last year, winning twice there, I think, you know, she's up, that's, what, 3 wins in Cheltenham? Mm. So, We're looking forward to her having a crack at the champion hurdle. She had a busy season as a juvenile, and that's why we didn't do too much with her last year. And I think she's come back good and strong for it. She'll probably start off with the Morgiana, and we'll take it from there. We'll navigate through the season without any plan at the moment. You know, she could go to Christmas. She could go back to Cheltenham. There's, I think, a mare's race that Annie Power won in Doncaster. Mm. You know, we'll have a lot of options for her. But I think she has the ability to have a crack at Stateman or Constitution Hill or whatever else lines up for the champion hurdle, Ballyburn, maybe. You never know. Anyhow, but, you know, she's in good shape.
Two of them three wins were at 2.5 miles. Was that just a quirk of the programme, the way it panned out for her?
I think so, but I think you've got to be able to win over 2.5 to win a champion hurdle. You know, if you only barely get 2 miles, I think you could be found out. Most champion hurdlers have stamina, plenty of it, to win over 2.5. And you need that little bit of speed, you know, to be good at 2.5 as well. So she has everything, I think. Jumping ability, speed, stamina. She's going to be a big player, I think, this year in the champion hurdle stakes.
I am Maximus Willie, 2 Grand Nationals.
Yes, I don't know how good he is. He just, I mean, the acceleration he showed winning the Aintree National from the last fence home when Paul said, and then when he set him alight, he just showed huge acceleration at the end of, what is it now, 4.25 miles, I think. But he's by authorised. You know, he's quirky all his life. And I think he's just maturing now and his real ability will come out. I think we're keen to have another crack at the Grand National with him. He won't have much more weight than last year. So I think JP is very keen to have another go with him. He seems to like entry, jumps the fences very well. We're going to plan our route back there. Before he ran in Aintree, he ran in the Bobby Joe, which I always think is a great trial for Irish horses anyhow. And then probably look at the Gold Cup in Leopardstown and the Savile Chase, Leopardstown at Christmas. Starting off, maybe we might just throw him into the John Durkin. And, you know, that could be as good a starting off place as any. I think time-wise for Christmas, it is. I think that's sort of basic plan for all being well. To go for a Grand National, you know, you need 4 or 5 runs under your belt, I think, just to be fit enough for that type of a contest. It's a very hard race to win first or second run, I think. You know, you just need race fitness, so you do. So he's come back. I think he's come back better than I've ever seen him. He's stronger, maturing all the time. So really looking forward to him this year.
That day, to win the Grand National, fantastic scenes, but it changed the whole slant of the season for you as regards the English Trainers Championship with the prize money that you won.
That's right. I mean, it's a huge prize, and it's one I always try to aim for. Been lucky enough with Hedge Hunter and this fellow to win it, but this year it meant a lot more because it propelled us right up there in the Trainers Championship, and it was a fantastic springboard to launch the last month of the season. Then the last 3 weeks travelling all over England to get every few pounds that we could muster, and but this fella had to click really in the National or be in the first three, you know, to give us a chance, and he did, and Paul gave him a super ride.
How good was to win another Grand National?
Well, I suppose your first is always the best. You know, the day we won with Hedge Hunter, I thought, well, that's it, been there now and been lucky enough to do that. And the feeling you get from having a national winner is huge. And, you know, this time around, it's as good, but definitely the first one is always probably the best. Yeah. Hopefully he can do it again this year.
Willie Mashburn, brilliant winner of the Triumph Hurdle. How's he been since?
He's been good. You know, he's a huge horse. As I think I might have said to you last year, I couldn't believe he was a juvenile when he arrived here. He looked like a ready-made chaser. And indeed, that's what I think we're going to do this year, going novice chasing with him. He only had two runs last season, third in Leopardstown, and then went on and turned the form around and won the Triumph Hurdle. And we put him away. He's such a big animal. We felt he hadn't much more to prove. And he jumps so well. We're going straight novice chasing this year. I know he's only four. Didn't have a hard season last year. I'm not sure when I'm going to start him. He jumps well. It's tough maybe for four-year-olds to go chasing. I know they get a bit of an allowance early in the season. But I'm not going to over-race him, I think, as a novice. Hopefully his ability will come out and, you know, that he'll be a decent horse again in the spring.
Form of the Triumph Hurdle has worked out very well since he, of course, reversed form at Carrigeese from his Irish debut. She went on to win a Grade 1 at Punchestown afterwards.
Yeah, his form is standing up everywhere. And, you know, the size and scope, he's just a real chaser. Probably surprised how well he jumped hurdles for a horse his size, you know, that he took notice of them. A lot of horses his size, they don't take any notice. But he's very intelligent, so really looking forward to him.
The new course on that occasion, he got outpaced at one point, but the further he went over that 2 miles one furling, he really came into his own.
Yeah, coming up that hill, I mean, he was just eating up ground, huge long stride, took the last quite well. He's going to be a force, I think, to be reckoned with. You know, I just hope his age doesn't get in the way because, you know, up to the last few years, four-year-olds got a good age allowance, but that's disappeared. So it's going to be tough for him, but he has the ability and he may as well learn this game, I think, at a young age. I think he'll be a right chaser in the future.
Start him off over 2 miles this time?
I imagine he'll start off. As I never mind too much in Ireland where we start them off 2, 2.2, 2.5, even a bit more if we have to. But I'd rather just start them when they're ready for their first run and then whatever chase is around. As they get up in grade, then we might come back to the trip that suits them best. You know, so when... But I'm sure he's... Most Triumph horses, I suppose, want a trip in their... as they get older, you know, so shouldn't have any problem going out and trip.
Willie, Mystical Power, he done a lot in a short space of time last year, winning a Ballinrobe bumper, his first hard start at the Galway Festival, finished off with two Grade 1 wins.
Yeah, he never shows off at home, and, you know, so we went to Ballinrobe hoping that he'd run well, and he did, and he just improved the whole season. And I think he's come back looking a better horse again this season, and he's grown. He's just a late developer. We haven't decided which direction we're going to go with him. I mean, I would think probably novice chasing, but, you know, he was second in the Supreme Novice, and he won his next two races after that, which shows me that he's improving. He could go down the staying hurdle route. I don't think he'd be fast enough for Champion Hurdle. And probably hasn't got a high enough rating. But I haven't discussed it with owners or connections yet, and we'll see what they want to do. Looking at his pedigree, he could go back to be a staying horse on the flat as well. But I doubt there'll be, you know, there might be a few nice races in that direction. But to me, I'd like to go jumping with him. He jumps well.
He has the pedigree, but given how relaxed he is at home, it's hard to weigh him up, I presume, where you'd intend to go with him based on his homework.
That's it, but, you know, every time you put something in front of him, he achieves it, he does it, and I'd say he's a lovely temperament to go novice chasing, so he has. So that's where I'd be, but as I said, I haven't really made a plan yet with connections.
Really interesting horse here. We're looking at now when he cut back to boards. Very impressive on Easter weekend at Ferry House, winning that Tattersall's
bumper. He was the George Merlin Tattersall's bumper. And George would have been proud of this fellow, wouldn't he? I mean, he's every inch a chaser, fine big horse. He'll go novice hurdling this year. He just had one run in a bumper, but I think he's, with his size and scope, I'd love to get him over fences sooner rather than later, but I think he just needs the experience over hurdles this year. And being by no risk at all, he should have plenty of speed. You know, he can go down the 2 mile route, but looking at him, you'd think he's more a staying chaser, fine, big, jumping type one to look forward to.
Salvatore Mundi, will he? Really good line of French form, being beaten by Sergino on his only start over there.
Yeah, he's only had three runs. One more run, he's qualified for the county hurdle, I think. But I'm told he's well up in the betting for the Supreme Novice Hurdle. He jumps well. He's in a real nice type. We'll go down probably the Supreme Novice Hurdle route, but good run. Is it the Gallagher's now? Mm. Used to be the Ballymore. You know, he stays, he jumps. He has plenty of ability. I'm very happy with him. He's a nice type of horse. A real nice type to have as a novice for this season.
Early season maiden hurdle, albeit, but he won by the length of the straight in Tipperary, effectively.
Yeah, he did what he had to do that day, and probably no depth in the race, but the ground was nice, and we thought before we throw him out in grass, let's see him on one more time on the racetrack, and if he could put his maiden away, that'd be good. Probably have to look at the Royal Bond. I think it's a grade two this year, but that'll be fine. And whether he has a run before that, I doubt it.
Chartin set and they're off, and Chautauqua was clearly the slowest out of the gates. Mongolian Saturday away quickly with Penophobia, Aero Velocities charging across, Super Jockey, Not Listener to Me, Strathmore, Lucky Bubbles in behind the pace with Gold Fun. It's a frantic speed up front. Getting back is Amazing Kids with Charles the Great. The Wizard of Oz is third last. A length into Divine Boy, and two lengths away last of all is Chautauqua. He's a dozen lengths from the pace, and the pace is hot with Buffering driving through to lead now with Penophobia. Aero Velocity's out three wide. Super Jockey, Mongolian Saturday, Not Listening to Me, Strathmore, Lucky Bubbles, Amazing Kids, The Wizard of Oz, followed by Gold Fun, Charles the Great, and now Berry unleashes the champ, Chautauqua to the middle part of the track. Penophobia tackled Buffering with Aero Velocity. Aero Velocity put his head in front from Penophobia. Strathmore, then Not Listening to Me, Lucky Bubbles. Chautauqua is winding up. Aero Velocity joined by Strathmore, Lucky Bubbles. Chautauqua still coming, going to the lead, Lucky Bubbles. Chautauqua, here he comes, the thunder down under. Chautauqua race to the lead. What a champion! Chautauqua beat Lucky Bubbles.
Then as I come to the home turn, Elusive Cat, Swift Lady, Winx is last. She'll have to come past the 17 of them. Into the straight and Sky Limit, past the 400, kicked away. Worthy Cause now went into second spot, about to give chase. Followed by Ride and Drive. Ullman is next, and Ride All Wrong has pulled to the outside to the 200 metres mark, and Worthy Cause got the Sky Limit. Ullman getting up on the fence. It's Ullman and Worthy Cause there together with 100 to go. Look at Winx. Look at Winx. She's come from last. She stormed down the outside. Oh, what a win.
Feels sent on their way in the Breeders' Cup Classic to the roar of the Santa Anita crowd. Regal Ransom bounced away quickly. Zenyatta is dead last. Zenyatta's dead last early. It's Regal Ransom going on. Gio Ponti, Einstein is right there. Colonel John in the white colours. Summerbird has the red cap in the vanguard too. Rip Van Winkle is on the outside and twice over, racing right behind them. They tightly grouped and not in the big hurry out on the lead. Then it's Awesome Gem. Gio Ponti's back, fourth last. Been followed then by Richard's Kid. Then comes Mind That Bird, and Zenyatta is dead last. Zenyatta last, got to be giving them about 10, 11 length start. They go to the three-quarter pole now in the Classic, and it's Regal Ransom just setting a sensible pace, not in a big hurry out here. Rip Van Winkle now goes up second, and Colonel John scrapes the paint in third. Einstein's right there too. Girolamo, white cap, far side. Here's Kent DeSormo and Summerbird. They six at the rail, just five off the leader. Then it comes twice over, Awesome Gem, and Gio Ponti's giving them seven length start. Then it's Richard's Kid. Now here's Zenyatta. Zenyatta is still a good 10-11 off the leaders. And then it's four back to Mind That Bird. A half mile to go now in the Classic, and still the leader is Regal Ransom, a length and a half. Rip Van Winkle being sent along after him, then Colonel John. On the far side, Girolamo. Einstein is right there. Summer Bird at the rail. Twice Over is next. Then Awesome Gem. Gio Ponti's behind that. Then Richard's Kid. And now here's Zenyatta. And let's see. Zenyatta has a lot of ground to make up. Zenyatta, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John. Summer Bird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summer Bird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. There's the roar from the crowd. They're on their way in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Game On Dude got a flyer. But on the outside, Uncle Mo's right up alongside. So Game On Dude and Uncle Mo go on to lead them early. On the extreme outside to Honor and Serve is right there. Stay Thirsty's tucking in right behind them. So You Think got a beautiful spot down on the inside. He's keen to go on. He's pulling hard as So You Think. A length and a half off the leaders. Then we come back to Headache. Now here's Havre de Grace. Havre de Grace is racing back in seventh, but only four lengths off the leaders. The pace very honest early. Then we drop back to Flat Out, who's racing at the back of the leading group. Another gap of four back to Drosselmeyer, Ruler on Ice, and Icebox. The last two, they're 11 off the leaders. On to the backstretch they go in the Classic, and Game On Dude at a strong pace. In the second position is Uncle Mo. And on the inside, we have So You Think, a close-up third. The far side to Honor and Serve is in fourth. Stay Thirsty, fifth, only four lengths off the leaders. Then Havre de Grace, Headache alongside of her. Flat Out is racing back in the eighth spot, seven off the leaders. Then Drosselmeyer, Ruler on Ice behind that. And last by a long, long way is Rattlesnake Bridge. Rattlesnake Bridge is last. Into the turn they go. Game On Dude taken on by Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo goes looking for the lead to Honor and Serve. Makes it three in a line. Game On Dude battles back at the rail. Uncle Mo's right there. On the far side to Honor and Serve. So You Think crying out for room. So You Think could be dangerous. Can he get through? He's in the fourth spot. Havre de Grace making her run on the outside. Homeward bound in the Classic. Game On Dude. So You Think gets a run on the inside. Uncle Mo's right there. To Honor and Serve in the red cap on the outside. Stay Thirsty. Havre de Grace tries to get involved late. But Game On Dude is just battling them all off. Game On Dude has the lead. Here's Drosselmeyer out of the clouds. Drosselmeyer from nowhere. And Drosselmeyer and Mike Smith have beaten Chantel Sutherland on Game On Dude.
And they're off and racing. Bow Warrior was slow to go from the outside gate. Fired out of the stalls is Matera Sky, who's blazing along. Also Imperial Hint showing brisk pace along with Captain Scotty. So Japan leads the two American runners in the early stages, and Matera Sky setting a blistering gallop. Captain Scotty in pink. In third is Imperial Hint. They're already very well strung out indeed. Gladiator King's Rider just forced to grab hold there. Indelible Ink is fifth, trying to pick up from off the paces. Maypole then behind these. Sober Action, Mutaram, and what's those taken off their feet early on is Drafted, as Matera Sky blasting away for Yatake. Taki is already leading a spaced out field on the turn for home. Imperial Hint on the outside of Captain Scotty in second and third. Then in fourth place is Gladiator King. A big lead has been gathered here by Matera Sky. Has the advantage by a good four lengths, and at the moment they're struggling to bridge the gap. Captain Scotty, Imperial Hint seems rather flat. Then on the outside, Gladiator King are making ground late is New York Central. But Matera Sky is an absolute mile clear here. 6 to 7 lengths is the gap. Gladiator King moves into second. New York Central closes off strongly, but Matera Sky now getting weary. New York Central's closing fast. Matera Sky, New York Central finishing like a train.
And they're off and racing. And a great line out, the favourite, Russian Revolution, the first into stride. Fell Swoop jumped very well, so did Malaguira. And Japanisma's right up with the leaders. English a lot closer in fifth, followed then by Astern from Target Inside. Tavachi's deeper out. Then came Voodoo Lad from Rock Magic. Well back in the field there is Terra Vista as they find their positions. Darren the outside. Further back then to Spieth, Rebel Danger. Tarquas two lengths behind them last. It's Russian Revolution in front from Fell Swoop. Then Malaguira. English is creeping closer on the fence. Further back to Japanisma has come off the bridle. They're followed by Target Inside Astern. It's being revved up. Then came Tavachi from Voodoo
new lad. Derren's out very deep. Chautauqua still last. Fell Swoop goes up the inside of Russian Revolution. Stride for stride, Fell Swoop, Russian Revolution. English comes off heels, and the mare is starting to let down. English goes after Fell Swoop. Russian Revolution's run his race. Further back to Voodoo Lad. It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history.
And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. And it's Joyner the Dancers racing for the lead. Musket Man has some early speed on the inside. Here's Regal Ransom with some speed as well. Beneath the Twin Spires the first time. Regal Ransom and Joyner the Dance will vie for the early lead. Pioneer of the Nile is right up there. And that's Papa Clem down toward the inside. He's now fourth. There's a party. Forwardly placed fifth on the outside. Flying Private is sixth. Freezing Fire in and among horses is now seventh. Musket Man is eighth. Dunkirk is ninth on the outside. Then farther back down on the rail, that is Atomic Rain, running in the 11th position, 2 lengths back, and General Quarters is now 12th. Nowhere to Hide is 13th on the outside. Westside Bernie is now down toward the rail. And then on the outside, at the back of the pack, beginning to move up now, is Hold Me Back. Advice is also right there toward the back of the pack, along with Chocolate Candy, Summerbird. Advice, the last of them all, is Mr. Hot Stuff. So down the back stretch run, Oyvind be fine, well behind the rest of them, is Mind That Bird. So down the back stretch run and join in the dance. An impudent long shot leader here, 50-1, taking the field through an opening half mile that was strong, 47 1/5 seconds. Regal Ransom is third. On the outside, Pioneer of the Nile. Now Garrett Gomez asking him for a bit more. He's right there. Third on the outside, Desert Party is now fourth. Hold Me Back, fifth toward the inside. Papa Clem threads his way through horses from sixth. Now Musket Man is now seventh. Chocolate Candy is beginning to come alive now, and he's eighth on the outside. Then down toward the rail, it's Advice as the field turns for home. Top of the stretch, it's still Joined in the Dance with a tenuous lead. Regal Ransom and Pioneer of the Nile strike the front just outside the eighth pole. Musket Man is coming hard down the center of the track, and Papa Clem's right there too. Down toward the inside, coming on through. That is Mind That Bird now is coming on to take the lead as they come down to the finish. And a spectacular, spectacular upset. Mind That Bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here. Set. And they're off. Now, Pakistan Star was slow, as was Cheer Win. Carry to Win didn't get away all that quickly, and Audacity's got no pace. Pace from Bear Chum deeper out, and he charges forward. Gainful Jet was away quickly, as was Don Wong Choi, and Call Me Handsome ridden forward. Deeper out is Bumble Baby from Looker Ass and Arm Runder down on the rail, then Ambitious Heart. A length away to Sea Jade, who's coursing very deep from Cheer Win, who's keen on the back of heels. Carry to Win down on the rail from Audacity, Holy Unicorn, and Pakistan Star can't go with them. He's 3 lengths last of all. Bear Chum has the lead as they approach the bend, but Call Me Handsome is keeping him honest, and this pair have broken 3 lengths in front. Don Wong Choi, Gainful Jet, Looker Ass, and then Arm Runder from Cheer Win and CJ to the middle. But it's Call Me Handsome and Bear Chum in a sterling battle. They're 3 lengths clear. Arm Runder followed by Gainful Jet and Looker Ass. Call Me Handsome and Bear Chum. Bear Chum and Call Me Handsome. Great titanic struggle. Look at Pakistan Star right out in the middle of the track from last to first. What a win this. Pakistan Star has blown them away.